They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this?" I feel that's to our 21st century ears a slightly lame translation of what might really have been said. I'm sure, actually, what the people were saying to each other was, "Wow, what's all this about then? Wow, what's all this about then?" So let's take that as our theme rather than "what is this?" It is so difficult for us to react with the awe and the astonishment that those who were there and saw Jesus in action must have felt. I guess this is something of what Jesus meant when he spoke about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, about being part of his world. And he said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to children. In Mark chapter 10, he said, "Those who do not accept the kingdom of heaven like a child are not able to enter it." And perhaps we need to recapture this childlike sense of amazement, of wonder, and of trust. I remember so vividly those days of listening to these Bible stories for the first time as a child and being captivated and amazed by what I heard. But as we grow more familiar with them, their impact tends to be less. And if we're honest, stories like the one that Simon's just read to us, we've probably long ago categorized and filed away in the section of odd stories from the Bible, which I tend to ignore. Now, don't beat yourself up too much about this, because I suspect that very many of us are like this to a greater or lesser extent. It's something which the great hymn writer William Cowper encapsulated in his hymn, "O for a Closer Walk with God," in which he wrote this: "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is that soul-refreshing view of Jesus and his word? Where indeed?" We're still in the season of Epiphany. Today is the last of the Sundays in Epiphany, the season which follows on from Christmas. It's the time when we're invited to look again, to look afresh at the way in which Jesus and the truths about him were revealed firstly to the Jews and then to the wider world, starting with the story of the shepherds drawn to the Christ child, and then the foreigners from the east who were led to Jesus and who brought their gifts. And then the lectionary, this book that sort of guides us in which readings we have each Sunday, directs our attention to look at the early days of Jesus' ministry and the way that the things that he said and the things that he did started to reveal who he really was. And through that, started to give people a greater insight into the true nature of God. These are the weeks in which we're encouraged to rediscover our sense of wonder in a God who is able to accomplish far more than we can ask or imagine. Something that was revealed in those early days of Jesus' public ministry. I always think it's unfortunate that this time when we're encouraged to really tap into our sense of wonder comes during January, when we're traditionally all supposed to be flat and depressed. We've just passed through that Monday, Black Monday, haven't we? So perhaps now, as we move towards spring, we can lift ourselves and try and allow some of that wonder to really come into our thinking. In the last couple of weeks, we've read about the way that people gathered around Jesus as his disciples, some called directly by him, others brought to him, others just turning up, came to form a group to work and live with him. And last week we looked at the story of his turning water into wine, his first public miracle, the story that we always remember at weddings. It's a story that we're comfortable with a nice story, if you like, but it's actually an amazing demonstration of the power of God and an illustration of his wish that our lives should be enriched and lived to the full. It wasn't just wine that he turned the water into, it was wine of the very best quality. And today's gospel reading that Simon read also tells of a demonstration of God's power, but in a very different context from a wedding, and a story that we probably find rather less easy and congenial. Jesus was in the synagogue at Capernaum. The ruins of that synagogue are still there. And it must have been the Sabbath because he was teaching. And we read that his listeners were amazed by the authority with which he spoke. Now, authority is a word that can conjure up a bad reaction from us. We tend not to like too much authority, do we? But as Jesus repeatedly demonstrated, this authority was not the puffed up human authority, which we can find so difficult. It wasn't an authority based on abuse of power. But this was authority based on the power of love. And Jesus demonstrated right from the start of his earthly ministry that at the heart of all that he did was love. Love for what was good. Love for what was right. And most of all, love for all people. And it was while he was teaching on this day in Capernaum that Jesus met some noisy and disruptive opposition. Now, this story is strange to us because we're not used to this type of language. We would describe the man's condition as a sign of mental illness rather than that of an unclean spirit. But Jesus' contemporaries saw it in terms of possession, possession by an evil spirit. And whichever type of language we choose to use, the key fact about this encounter is that Jesus, the power of God, the power of Holy Spirit, was more than a match for the evil, for the sickness, for the dis-ease of this man. And Jesus was able to drive out the evil and to heal him. Now, in a less dramatic way, all of us need to allow Holy Spirit to clean us up spiritually on a regular basis. I'm not going to ask each of you to spell out the instincts, the behavior patterns, the priorities, which perhaps have come to dominate your life, the things that have become really important to you. But for most of us, we have these things, and they're a mixture. Some are good and some perhaps less good. Things that are prone to take us over. Not as visibly or dramatically as this man was possessed, but nevertheless, in a very real sense, things that take possession of us. Many of the things with which we fill our lives may not seem bad, but they can preoccupy us. They can prevent us from recognizing the presence and promptings of God. They can prevent us from responding to God's will for each one of us in our lives. And we need to spend time with God, allow him to, if you like, clean us out. Something we can pray to him about as we come into church each Sunday, and particularly as we make our confession and prepare to take the bread and the wine. What Jesus demonstrated here was that this message was not just powerful to hear, astounding as it was to his original listeners as they listened to the words that he said, but also that they needed to tap in to his power to change their lives for the better. His words and his deeds challenged people to recognize the presence of God at work in his world. This healing of the man followed on from changing water into wine. It reflected the love which energized the power that Jesus had. It told people that God's will for each one of them and for each one of us is that we enjoy life in all its fullness, cleansed by Holy Spirit and filled with the best wine. Yesterday I was reading a booklet about how we use time. It was a free one with a newspaper, and it was very interesting. It talked about the way in which so many of us allow time to slip away by becoming distracted from what we set out to do. If we set out to do a task on the computer, we suddenly find ourselves looking at the internet search engine and getting diverted into all sorts of other things. And it's something that tends to happen to most of us a lot of the time. And actually this makes us frustrated and far less successful and satisfied than we would like to be. And the booklet suggested that a greater focus would bring us greater fulfillment and greater contentment. Jesus is not looking to drive out demons from our lives in the spectacular way that he did at Capernaum. But he is gently urging us to seek first the things of God in our lives. And he says if we do this, the other things will happen. At the end of our gospel reading, the bystander said, "What is this?" To answer him or her, we could have referred them back to the psalm which John read to us, which is a wonderful expression of the greatness of God. It begins, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart." And with many allusions to the Exodus story, which the psalmist would have known so well, he traces the marvellous works of God, using words like gracious, full of compassion, faithful, kind, holy, and awesome. Lots of wow words. And he concludes, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Or as it could be translated, "Respect for the authority of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Or, if you like, focusing more on the things of God helps you to get your life right. So this morning, as we move on from Epiphany, let's commit ourselves afresh to appreciating and respecting the authority of Jesus' teaching and actions. And let's allow ourselves a few more wow moments and a little bit more time with God. And let's do so with hearts that are full of thanks and praise. Amen.